Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 1st, 2016. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You know, you can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, email address, and our mailing address on our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Of course, you got to put that www thing in front of it, but if you just Google prophecyhour.com or whatever search engine you use, I'm sure you'll pull it up. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and at a place called branch.podomatic.com. They're both smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app, and so get that for your smartphones. You don't even really need it because both are really smartphone friendly. Check it out. Let's move right on. Okay. Also, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast on the net internationally. So please pray about supporting airtime. And also, I challenge you to share this with at least two or three other people. You know, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Helsinki, Finland, Mexico City, Mexico, Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico, Sargasso, Spain, Hyderabad or Bad, India, Mumbai, India, New Delhi, India, Vancouver, Canada, Calgary, Canada, Toronto, Canada, Winnipeg, Canada, Montreal, Canada, and I noticed today, or yesterday, actually, there's a couple more cities in Canada listening, and they all seem to be real close to the border. And I'm not picking on Canada, but does everybody live within the first 100 miles of the border in Canada? Well, anyway, that's the people that's listening to the radio programs. And, of course, in cities in the United States, such as Sacramento, California, Town and Country, Florida, Corpus Christi, Texas, Anaheim, California, Columbus, Ohio, Buffalo, New York, Washington, D.C., and Plano, Texas, Dallas, Texas, I could go on for a long time, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. And you folks that listen to the podcast, I know that in Wichita or listen, you know, and listen to the radio program, the point I'm getting at is, I was talking to somebody that is a supporter and does listen to me over in Wichita, and he came in the other day, and we were talking about it, and you know, what we brought up in our conversation is that we are in one of the worst parts of town over there, and so I don't blame people for being scared to come in there, because I'm just different, but most people are scared to be there. But, you know, that's where we should be at, is where the sinners are, and, you know, to help them. But anyway, point being is, drop in and see us if you're brave enough in Wichita. Drop by and give us a howdy doody. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not my will, nor my guest's will. So please give us all ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight has served in the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, Steve, and that's who we're talking about, is Steve Henderson, has been called into the area of teaching prophecy. You know, this happens with a lot of people. You know, you gain it. I will tell you this. You know, you start off when you're young and you think you know everything, and the Father has to take you up this hill and down the other, you know, and around. And when you get older, you start understanding things better and you're willing to accept things better, especially if you think you're right about something. Then when you get a little bit older, you go, oh, okay, well, you get a little more flexible. It's just a little more intelligent, a little more wisdom. But anyway, so his ministry is called The Sure Word of Prophecy. It has a mission to help believers to understand the Bible prophecy and prepare them for the return of Yeshua to provide an arguable presentation to unbelievers that there is indeed one who knows the end from the beginning, and that's how the word is, teaches the end from the beginning. In his vision, he shares prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, and atheists, providing them with evidence they need to turn them into a saving faith in Yeshua, our Messiah. And that's the Messiah of the world, if they would only accept him. You can check his website out at surewordprophecy.org, surewordprophecy.org. He says, due to recent developments and provocations of Iran against many in the Middle East and the West, he would like to revisit Daniel 8 and give an important update as we move closer to the fulfillment of this end-time prophecy. And according to Steve, it is becoming much clearer based on evidence of current events that a war will soon commence between the West and Iran. I can concur that could happen at any time, especially with our troops overlapping in the Middle East. We also might take note that author and watchman Richard Perry, who's been on this program many times, and he's been on, I mean, you know, clear back years since I first started the radio program. Richard Perry says that he expects the war to start with Iran before Obama leaves office. So is that two witnesses? Anyway, so let's welcome back now Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Maranatha and shalom to you, Pastor Dan. Thanks again for the invitation. I always enjoy being on your program.
Well, I enjoy having you on here, and I know the folks do because I can tell from the radio archives, you know, that they pick up your programs and listen to it continually. If they don't like you, they don't pick your programs up the next time you're on. So it's pretty easy choice. But I like having you on, and you know, while we don't agree on everything, you know, nobody agrees on everything, but you do give some very sound things to talk about.
Well, I appreciate your invitation, brother. I really feel that we are facing the final precipice of the things that head into eternity, and it really excites me. But the reality of it all is we're facing right now an unavoidable conflict with Iran, and I kind of like to share that with your group tonight. And if you allow me, I'll go ahead and just get right into it. Let me start out with an article entitled "We Welcome War with the U.S." This was back a couple days ago, August 30th, and I'll lead out with this, and then we'll go on from there. The writer of this article, Robert Spencer, exclaimed, "The details of Iran's ongoing war activities against the United States are unknown to most Americans. For years, Iranian leaders have been engaged in extreme bellicose rhetoric against the U.S. In the 35th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian Chief of Staff, Hossein Farzabadi, boasted, Iran is prepared for a decisive war against the U.S. and the Zionist regime. Iran has been making plans, conducting maneuvers, and preparing its forces for this battle for years now. The head of Iran's influential 12-member Guardian Council of the Constitution, Ayatollah Amajanati, further inflamed the Islamic Republic with these types of words. The Iman Khomeini said that the U.S. is a great Satan, and we expect Iranian officials to recognize the enemy. The U.S. is a great Satan yesterday and today. The first option on our table is death to America. the entire people's slogan is death to America. Another option on our table is the defense of Palestine. Other messages from the Iranian people to their officials are not to fear the enemy and not to fear death. Yes, brother, I think that this ram that I see in the Daniel chapter 8 has become emboldened, and they are in our face challenging us as we speak this evening. So what I'd like to do is take you back, take the listening audience back just a little bit back to where I first shared with you 3 years ago. I noted here it was about 3 years ago that I actually did three programs on Daniel chapter 8. And I know you understand my position, but for those who may not have had the benefit of hearing those programs, I'd like to make a few observations, if you will, concerning this prophecy, and then get right to the heart of the matter, if you don't mind.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, in my estimation, brother, it's one of the most ignored prophecies in Scripture, in the entire Bible, in fact, Daniel chapter 8. Yet it's one of the most important, and I believe it speaks of our day. I actually started doing this study back in 1989 and have been watching this prophecy get much clearer, and now we're rapidly moving much closer to the fulfillment of Daniel's vision and Yeshua's return. And boy, I'm getting excited about it, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, brother. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. As I examined these prophecies with great interest when I began studying and coming into the Lord, I noticed that Yeshua was sharing a panoramic view of what would take place before his return, that there was a distinct pivotal transition concerning a thing called the end. And Yeshua declared that before he would come back, chaos would be the normal mode of things. And then he gave a list of signposts to watch for. And then he shifted his statements to words which clearly concern the end. And that's what led me into studying Daniel. In Matthew chapter 24, the Savior clearly stated in his transitions, he said that he that endures to the end, they will be the ones that will be saved. And through these troublous times, the gospel will go over all the earth, and then the end would come. So here are two direct statements about the end. Then Yeshua alerts his followers that there will be something in the book of Daniel which would be eventually usher in the final day and deliverance to all that believe in him to eternal life. Yeshua specifically speaks in this manner. He said, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then he ended his statement, whoever reads, let him understand. Pastor Dan, I wanted to read about this and understand it. And as I began to search for this event in Daniel's writings, I discovered the first clear reference to this event, which would bring in a desolation, was found in Daniel chapter 8. This event would be brought into sharp focus through a little horn power, and he would cause many to transgress against Yahweh through deceit. This event was labeled in chapter 8 of Daniel as a transgression of desolation. It's not my intent to speak.
Let me say something.
Sure.
You know, you hit on, I'm really intently listening to you because, right now in our mission church, we're doing a prophecy study, and we started out with Daniel, but I'm glad you're pointing it out, there are so many people that are just stuck in the New Testament, and then they're stuck just, and they will do Matthew, but they won't relate it back. What he's giving you right now is really highly important as to this identification of the desolation. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to point it out to the people.
Thank you, brother. I concur. It's a very, very vital thing that we need to be looking at right now. And I don't think that we need to ignore it. I think we need to have ears to hear, because Daniel is writing about an end-time vision in Daniel chapter 8. And before I get into this end-time vision, I'd like to offer just a couple of observations, if you will, brother. Number one, Daniel's writings would not be clearly understood until the end, and that's how I understand the book of Daniel. Daniel was told after receiving his visions to seal up the words and close up the book until the time of the end. Then at the time of the end, the book would become unsealed and knowledge of the prophecies would increase. Before the end of chapter 12, Daniel appeals to the one about whom he had seen, and he didn't understand what he saw in his visions. And then Daniel was told, go your way, Daniel, For the words are closed up and sealed up until the time of the end. And then he adds, at that time, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall be wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise shall understand. Thus, that's the Yeshua statement, whoever reads, let him understand. And he's pointing to the abomination of desolation, and he points it to the end of time, and at the end, this book would become unsealed, and knowledge of these prophecies would increase. Pastor Dan, it's imperative that we place these prophecies where they belong. Daniel's visions open up at the end, and the wise will understand what is being said here. Friends, Daniel chapter 8 is a vision that refers to the end, and how do I know this? Well, I'd like to take you over and see what the angel Gabriel says about the vision before we dig into the specifics. In the context, Daniel was frightened about what he saw in Daniel chapter 8, and at the moment, the angel Gabriel was summoned to help Daniel understand when the vision would take place. Starting with chapter 8 and verse 16, we read Daniel's account, and I quote, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. And he said to me, understand, son of man, that this vision refers to the time of the end." Gabriel then reiterates the time and again in verse 19, and Gabriel tells Daniel one more time, "Look, I'm making you to know what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be." Then after Daniel receives the vital information about the specifics of the ones who are in the vision, he's told in verse 26, "And the vision of the evenings and the mornings, which is told, is true. Therefore, fill up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future." So very evidently, within the framework of Daniel chapter 8, three times it says that it's an end time vision. This would not apply to something that would happen way back in history, but at the end of time, we would understand this vision because of the very circumstances and players that are involved. The events would speak loud and clear that we are facing the end. So let's stop here for a minute and draw a couple of conclusions. There's an appointed time when the prophecy will be understood. At the end, the vision will become clear, and to those who read it, they will understand. And at the end, many will burn back and forth in the prophecies of Daniel, and knowledge of these prophecies will bring great light to those who read it. Okay, so now let's build on the foundation, Pastor Dan, that we've laid here. So we understand Daniel 8 is an end-time vision according to the angel. Now, Daniel sees a ram standing at a certain geographical location. The ram is standing at a river. It is at the confluence of where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers join together, just north of where the Persian Gulf lies. This is where Iran and Iraq meet together. This ram has two horns. One horn appears first, and then a larger horn comes in and joins the first horn. They then begin to bully the region, and the ram begins to launch out in three different directions. Apparently, the other countries in the regions cannot do anything to stop this belligerent ram, and because of the ram's aggression, it brings attention to another entity that's pictured in the vision. This is identified as a goat. On this goat's forehead is a great horn. This goat comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west, a specific geographical location. The goat is enraged at what the ram is doing, so it decides to travel across the west, across the surface of the whole earth, and take out this ram. The prophet sees this goat traveling through the air. It's not traveling on the ground. It's coming through the air. And there's a troubling confrontation, and the goat with the great horn wins this war and becomes even greater after the war. Then, suddenly, the prophet sees the great horn break. When the great horn breaks, it affects the whole planet toward the four winds of the heavens. And it breaks up into four horns, and then out of one of them comes a little horn who slips in and gains the world's trust by his deceitful ways, thus creating the abomination that ushers in desolation. The ram is standing in between Iran and Iraq. There is no room, brother, for misinterpretation here, in my opinion. The ram is identified as the Medes and Persians in verse 20 of chapter 8. Put them at the end where Gabriel does, and you will find Iraq and Iran. According to the book in the Daniel, Darius the Mede was in Babylon at the time Daniel was still writing his prophecies. And ancient Babylon is now where Iraq is centered, and Iran is Persia and always has been, and is still known as the ancient Persian Empire. So, and according to the geographical location, we have no room for doubt. This ram is standing right in between Iraq and Iran when this goat becomes infuriated at what the ram is doing. According to this prophecy, Iran and Iraq will be front and center in the news at the time of the end. Are you following me, brother, on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm listening to you real intently. I don't have any disagreement in the ram at all. That is the area, and we've just been studying. And like most people do, you know, at our mission church, what we do is we put up maps, you know what I'm saying, ancient maps, and compare them with modern-day maps is what I believe every student should do. And the area you're talking about is absolute.
Okay. Thank you, brother, for that confirmation. So now let's go into what is happening in the news, and this should alarm anyone who understands these prophecies. First of all, I want to offer up some background information to bring us to the present crisis just ahead of us. Let's start just briefly, and I'm going to try to move real quickly here because I got a lot of stuff to share with you. I want to take you back to the revolution that began in Iran from a backlash against westernizing and secularizing efforts of a Western U.S.-backed Shah in Iran. In 1979, the Shah had to leave Iran in exile as the last Persian monarch, leaving his duties to a regency council and an opposition-based prime minister, and a revolution was replaced with the monarchy of the Shah with Islamism and the Ayatollah Khomeini. He was invited back to Iran by the government, who was in exile for many years, around 15 if I remember, and eventually Iran created a caliphate and an Islamic Republic and called the Islamic Republic of Iran. Later on that year, a group of Iranian students belonging to the Muslim student followers of Iman's line, who supported the Iranian revolution, took over a U.S. embassy in Tehran. And it was an Iran hostage crisis that was a diplomatic crisis between Iran and the United States.
We're going to have to go to a break in about 30 seconds or something.
Okay.
How about you give your website, and
sure,
we'll come back and listen to some more about this.
Absolutely. My website is surewordprophecy.org. And I would encourage you to, I do have a presentation over there under presentations, that's called The Coming Prophetic Showdown, Iran, the West, and Israel. And I encourage you to watch that in lieu of this here.
Okay, folks, make sure you go check him out, surewordprophecy.org, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, this is a part of the program where I always ask you to pray about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, I had a supporter come in this week and talked a little bit about it at the first of the program. I had a supporter come in this week, and we talked over why people, you know, in Wichita, why I have such a big listing crowd over there, but not very many people show up. You know, in fact, it's a real pretty much rarity for somebody from Wichita to pop in the door. Well, I really think it is just that it's because of the part of town that we're in, because we are in one of the worst parts of town. And let me tell you what, that in that neighborhood, that if you don't look like you belong, you could get stand a good chance of one of two things. You could either get possibly mugged, robbed, or you could even get hassled by the police because they want to know what somebody like you is doing over there. Me, they're used to, you know what I'm saying? They know my vehicles and in and out. And, you know, it is still Broadway and Kellogg. It's not saying that you can't come down there safely, but I see why people are paranoid of it. But, folks, really, you come over there in the daytime, it's safe. You walk in the back door and say, or say to anybody, say, hey, you know, where's Pastor Dan at? And they'll direct you right to me. And so if you want to drop in and say hi, it is safe. But why are we in that part of town? You know, when I moved into that part of town, even some of the homeless said, Pastor Dan, man, you know where you're moving to? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, you know, is that safe for you? And it has been safe. I believe that the Father directs me in what I do, and I believe that I've got a big guardian angel. And so, you know, but anything could happen to anybody anywhere. But that's where I'm needed at. We help the poor and the homeless. There's a lot of poor people in that neighborhood we help out. There's a lot of, and, you know, we don't have a lack of people coming in the door for help. Pregnant women and women with children and families, you know, men, women, and children. Everybody, they mention my ministry, they always say, well, Pastor Dan, he just takes care of the homeless and poor. We take care of poor people that, you know, can't keep, they just barely keeping a roof over their heads because of Obama's economy. And, you know, they're working, some of them are working two or three jobs even, and they just, you know, don't make enough money. And so these people come in looking for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications. And, you know, now it's wintertime. We need blankets. You folks in Wichita could really help out if you would get, score some blankets, because you wouldn't have to mail them or anything. You could just drop them off with us. Call me and let me know. We'll arrange it. You know, even if I need to meet with you at a special time and you don't want to come to the neighborhood, I can send somebody to meet you to get the blankets if you don't feel safe. So we need blankets, over-the-counter medications, Bibles, King James Version, large print Bibles. You can pick those up in many different stores. The dollar store, the last couple of years, that's where we used to get them for $10 a piece. They quit carrying Bibles for some reason, at least where that we could see where they used to keep large prints. But Sam's has them. They're $15, and they're a really nice Bible. So pray about it, you know. We also need help for food, clothing, bills. It's the first of the month. Not all the bills have been paid. We're expecting we always get a donation from one ministry in Texas that has been donating for years, and we usually pay the Mission Electric and a couple other mission bills with it. Well, that check hasn't got here yet, and maybe because of the weekend it got tied up, sometimes it's late, but the bills need to be paid now. So pray about a donation. You know, we really do need your help. You know, we're the last hope for so many. And folks, remember, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You know, you're listening to it, and, you know, I bring you different guests, and you know, I even bring different opinions. Well, I don't put a lot of pre-trib rapture people or very little at all on here. I do people that have different versions of Bible prophecy and put it on here because, you know, I don't claim to know 100%, but I put on people that are reasonable. And like tonight, you have a good guest on, Steve Henderson. The next program on tonight at 7 o'clock, you're going to have Joel Richardson. And so these are very good guests. And, you know, so pray about it. If you're blessed by these programs, donate to radio. When you make a donation to radio, all you got to do is mark it radio, and it'll go for radio instead of the homeless and poor. So pray about it. We really could use your help, and we could use it tonight, today, whatever, whenever you hear this message. Okay, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682. And just to see if you're all listening to this, try Messiah's Besidesbranch.com. Besidesbranch.com. That is simply just some radio archives that I put up there. Simple. I want to see how you like it. Besidesbranch.com. See what you think of it. Anyway, and now we're back, if he hasn't went anywhere, with Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, brother, and thank you for your ministry. We might be the only Bible they read, and if you're extending your heart and hands like the heart and hands of Jesus, he'd be down there in the middle of that area you're talking about, and he loved them right where they were at, and God bless you for your ministry, and I would encourage your listeners to please make a donation. I concur with that, brother. And thank you for your modeling with the Living Book. You know, and that's really important to those who have hardened hearts. The only way you're going to soften that heart is through an act of love, like you're doing. And I know you're sowing many seeds for the kingdom, brother. And I appreciate that.
Thank you. Now, let's get back into this interesting Bible prophecy.
Okay, let's do it. You want to kind of move forward in little segments, but, you know, with the time that I have, you know, I kind of like to mention how the anti-American rhetoric happened through the hostage deal, where there were, you know, for 444 days, the United States had some hostages there in Iran, and that was a turning point of an anti-American mindset that was worsened through the following decades. And remember, in order for Daniel's vision to be fulfilled, Iran and Iraq would have to make headlines in the world news, and something was shaping up here through all of this. Right during that same time in 1980, Iran-Iraq war began to break out when Iraq invaded Iran. And it followed a history of border disputes and was motivated by fears of the Iranian revolution in 1979 would inspire insurgency among Iraq's long-expressed Shia majority. And so what happened was a massive conflict took place between the two over territory. And in fact, a lot of the focus was around the same area where Daniel saw the ram pushing along that taking control of that waterway, not the shallow Arla waterway that traveled into the Persian Gulf at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. That's where the territory was. Whoever take control of that river would have be a regional superpower. And shortly after this war, I began to look at the prophecy and wonder how in the world would these two countries ever get together. But according to the book of Daniel, it would have to happen. The two horns would eventually have to unite and begin to get aggressive. And that would take a miracle to put both these two together, because this is a bitter ordeal for both countries. The war cost on both sides in lives, economic damage. Half a million Iraqi and Iranian soldiers were killed, with an equivalent number of civilians and are believed to have died, which much more injured. And there's an extensive use of chemical weapons and sulfur mustard gas by the Iraqi government against Iranian troops, civilians, and the Kurds, and so they were bitter enemies. And so in order for them to get together, it would just be an almost impossibility at that particular time to see that happen. In 1991, Saddam went back down to Kuwait. We all know what happened there. A coalition from the West, led by the great nation of the United States, went down, pushed Saddam back, and then, you know, the coalition from the West, mainly NATO and Great Britain, led by the United States, push Saddam back, turn the clock back up to September 11, 2001, the attacks of the World Trade Center. Somehow or other, Saddam was implicated. In 2003, we went in another coalition from the West with a great nation leading the way again, went in and took out Saddam Hussein. And through this, the two horns and Daniel began to unite together. Remember, in the prophecy in Daniel 8 in 3 and 4, the ram has two horns, and the two horns were high. One was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. And the two would have to get together, and then once they did, they would begin to push and get aggressive. Well, through the toppling of Saddam in 2003 by U.S. and coalition forces, it constituted a historic opportunity for Iran to expand its influence in Iraq and to transform it from an enemy into a partner or ally. And since the fall of Saddam Hussein in 2003, Iran's strategy has been to unite Iraq's Shiite party so they can translate their demographic weight into political influence, thereby consolidating Shiite primacy in the Baghdad and Tehran, both uniting together. And they placed a Shiite president of Iranian influence, Nuri al-Maliki, in 2005, and then it just went and the man Mohammed Sadr was a popular anti-American in Ahmadi army in militia in Iraq, and he was uniting Iraq and Iran together in common goals. He had left Iraq for a while, and then back in he fled in 2007, and he came back in around 2011. And it was during that time that Iraq and Iran really began to consolidate their forces together. In a recent article in 2011 from Los Angeles Times, the article says, U.S. military, as U.S. prepares to leave, Iran's shadow looms large. And it says, U.S. military officials warn that Iran will fill the vacuum created by Americans after they the troops depart. And it says this, as the last U.S. troops pack up and leave Iraq by the end of the next month, Pentagon officials and senior military commanders are warning that Iran will push to fill a power vacuum created by the American exit unless Washington limits its pullback from the region. In Iraq and other trouble spots, Iran is handing out money and weapons, often in secret, and in an effort to expand its clout and stay ahead of the political changes sweeping the region since the start of the Arab Spring. Another article, U.S. On verge of losing Iraq completely to Iran. An American general, McElhenney, said it's a very dangerous situation and it's perilous. And it, in this article, it exclaims, escalating protests in Baghdad threaten the Iraqi government as Shiite Muslim factions battle for control for the country. And retired U.S. Lieutenant Tom McElhenney says Iran could soon wield all the power in Iraq unless U.S. changes course in significant ways. It says you have a combination of Iranian Shiite and Iraqi Shiite competing as to who controls the government and who controls Iraq. That's the bottom line of what's going on over here right now. When we pulled out, this administration fundamentally gave Iraq to Iran, McElhenney said. Now, the Iraqi government is feeling much greater heat from Shiite factions, more loyal to Iran than to Baghdad, in addition to the threat posed by ISIS in the north. ISIS still controls Mosul with other swaths of territory in Iraq and still within striking distance of the capital. What happened, brother, was that the Iran came in, filled the vacuum when the United States Army left, and now they are working side by side against a common enemy called ISIS, and we all understand what's been going on right there. But article after article after article, here's one that says out of the Iran news, popular forces representative, Iraq owes existence to Iran and General Soleimani. In this article, it says a representative of Iraqi volunteer forces appreciate Iran and an Islamic Republic Guards Corps Quds Force commander, the Major General Qassam Soleimani, for assisting his country in a campaign against terrorism and safeguarding his territorial integrity. In June 2016, Foreign Minister of Iraq says Iranian General Soleimani in Iraq at Baghdad's demand. It says they invited him in to Baghdad to help with their fight against ISIS. Another article, July 24, 2016, Iran, Iraq discuss anti-terrorism cooperation. The Iranian ambassador and Iraqi parliamentary speaker met on Baghdad on Sunday and discussed mutual cooperation in the war against terrorism and extremism. And it says that during the meeting in the Iraq capital today, these two leaders underlined the need for collective efforts by all Muslim countries, especially Iraq and Iran, to uproot terrorism in the region. I think it's pretty amazing that here is the top state sponsor of terrorism in the world fighting against terrorism with Iraq in the region now, and they're called a regional power now, the Iran and Iraq together. And the two sides warned against the rising threat of terrorism endangering global peace and security. So here we find Iraq and Iran together now. In fact, this article just recently, August 16, 2016, out of Fox News says U.S. officials say that up to 100,000 Iran-backed fighters are now in Iraq. This article propagates as many as 100,000 Iran-backed Shiite militia are now fighting on the ground in Iraq, according to U.S. military officials, raising concerns that should the Islamic State be defeated, it will only be replaced by another anti-American force that fuels further sectarian violence in the region. This is Daniel 8 to its ultimate. The effect of the Obama administration's policy has been to replace American boots on the ground with Iranians. And as Iran advances, one anti-American actor is being replaced with another. And it then propagates, the U.S. military also confirming that Russian bombers are now flying into Syria from a base in Iran. The growth could create greater risk for Americans in the country. At least one Iran-backed group vowed earlier this year to attack U.S. forces supporting the Iraqis. And that's what's really happening, is now they have an anti-American sentiment not only with Iran, but with Iraq also, and they have both been threatened. Here's an article entitled, U.S. Unaware of Iran's Plans to Build Missile Base in Iraq. Can you believe this? Here we're finding that Tehran launched construction of a large missile base in the Syrian coastal mountain region in Iraqi Kurdistan, which reportedly aims to protect the religious borders of Iran. Here's another article. Iraq Shiite militias say U.S. troops, forces of occupation demand withdrawal. Here they're saying, you guys, the U.S. needs to get out of our territory. We don't appreciate you being here any longer, so get on out. Here's another article, June 1st, 2016. The Americans use excessive force. We don't need their help in liberating Fallujah. In this article, it says the American axis can go to hell. The Iranian brothers, headed by dear brother Qasem Soleimani, came here at the request of the Iraqi government. This was done in agreement with the general commander of the armed forces of Iraq. These people did not sneak in here, but the general commander of the armed forces said, Soleimani's pictures are in the battlefield. So here
let me give you something. Hey,
sure.
Let me give you something real quick. I don't know if you noticed this today, but, you know, they're all talking about the loopholes now that we gave them. And, in fact, it said U.S. agreed secret exemptions for Iran on nuclear deal. We've empowered them even to be more to be able to, you know, be on the road to a nuclear bomb. So I do have a question for you in all this.
Yes.
Obama seems to give away the farm to Iran right now, and he even gave money to get our soldiers back. Do you believe that you say a coming war, and I believe that we're going to go to war with Iran. My question to you is this. Do you think that would happen under this administration, or because he's so appeasing to him, or do you think it'll be the next, or do you have no thought?
Well, I believe that it would be what's going to create this war is something that happens initiated by Iran, okay? So when, and as we go through this, we find out that Iran has spread its tentacles throughout the Middle East, and Yemen, into Syria, into Iraq. They're down in Iran. They're pushing. In fact, right now they just threatened Turkey
right to
get out. So they are taking, and along with the Russian alliance, you know, it could be just any time, and, you know, it's hard to predict the timing here, but it would seem to me like while America is preoccupied with this Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton presidential election, that it would be a good time for them to shift gears and do something that, and I know that the focus, and by the way, it's something else that we need to note here, brother, is that this is connected to something that's going to happen to Israel, okay?
Right.
And, you know, as they're shooting missiles off with Israel's name on them over there, inciting, the hatred. Now, that could be something that Israel initiates, okay, out of self-preservation.
Right.
And these are, I mean, there's just so much to add to your question here.
Absolutely. I just wanted to see what you said, because I have another brother by the name of Richard Perry that's an author and everything, and he's predicting this war to happen before Obama leaves office. And it could be very possible, especially maybe if Trump became president that they figure it would be a president that would have an iron hand, so to speak. We don't know, but I do feel it's like right on the edge. But I'll let you finish. You got about 4 minutes.
We sure are on the verge of something very decisive. I wouldn't want to make that prediction that would happen before the election, but it's coming, brother. I know that much. Here's an article. Iran presidential advisor, whole Middle East is Iranian. There's a brother that says the geography of Iran and Iraq cannot be divided, and it urges national unification in the region. And speaking at a Tehran forum entitled Iran, Nationality, History, and Heritage, Hassan Rouhani's special assistant for minorities, Al Yassini, said that Iran and neighboring Iraq were inseparable in response to alarm in Saudi Arabia over Islamic Republic's expansionism in the region. At the moment, Iraq is not only the bastion of our civilization, it is also our identity, culture, and capital, and it is now true as it was in the past. The geography in Iran and Iraq cannot be divided, Yassini, a former intelligence minister, added. This is out of Times of Israel. So what we find is it's just a fulfillment of the prophecy where the two get together, and then they begin to spread their tentacles and begin to push into the different regions. And here is an article just a few days ago entitled Saudi and Persian Gulf States Share Israel's Concern About Iran's Hegemony. Foreign Ministry Director Dor Gold of Israel said, Arab leaders are laying out a case against Iranian actions, and we are seeing expressed over and over by Arab leaders. The Iranian interference is considered to be a threat to a number of countries in the region. Their interference includes support for terrorism, promoting chaos, and political interference. The goal is to achieve Persian domination over Abrahamism with the use of Revolutionary Guards and Hezbollah and the other prodigies such as Hamas, Islamic Jihad. They're being supported by this number one terror network. And what they plan on doing is taking over and expanding the Islamic Republic throughout the Middle East and then taking down America. And this, something they are going to do is going to make this great nation from the West very, very mad. And when whatever they do, it's going to allow them to come over swiftly from the air and come down on those countries there. And when it's all done and said, the America will be the victor in this thing. But then once the war commences and the Iran and Iraq are broken down, it will break both its horns. Then the great horn of the prophecy. The great nation, it's called a nation in Daniel chapter 8. Out of that nation will come four when the great horn breaks. And, you know, we've been looking for a prophecy related to the United States, and surely, as great a nation this is, surely it's somewhere in the book. And I think at the end, the book of Daniel will become sealed, and we would understand who this great nation from the West would be and who this ram would be. And when they get in this conflict, start counting the days, because we're getting ready to go home, brother. Hallelujah.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, it's a good version. You know, you have more of this at your.
I have much more.
You jumped all around. So it's at where? Your website?
Yes, I do have a presentation on video. You can go and click to it. It's free. Just jump over there to the presentations tab. Hit the prophetic showdown, Israel West and Iran. There's about a 90-minute presentation I've done back in November of 2015, but everything's happening so rapidly, brother. I need to be doing another one because everything is just shaping up so quickly. And you know, I think we really need to take a good, honest look at it.
So
and get
you
it
have history. Well, let me ask you real quick before you go, because you're gonna have to get out of here in a second. So you have enough for another program already?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I haven't even touched the surface. I wanted to get into.
Okay, well, I'll send you a date after my final radio program tonight. But I got to get out of here now. But Steve, we'll have you back on so you can fill it out. But right now, I got to tell you goodbye and be blessed because we're at the end.
Yeshua bless you, brother. Love you, man. Bye.
All right. Be blessed. Well, folks, you know, a lot of people say that the United States is not really listed much in the Bible. That's what Joel Richardson said as our next speaker. But I don't know. Daniel's prophecy does say specifically that. It would be sealed till the time of the end. That's why we bring you some different people with different views. Any way you look at it, we are about to go. I think we're very close to a war with Iran in the whole Middle. I think we're at the time of the end. That's the point. That's the point of this program. Pray about supporting this radio program. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church, and make sure you turn in from an hour from now. But you must remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after, what, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him is the only way to the Father. Why would he say 3 days and three nights if it wasn't 3 days and three nights? You need to get this right. Folks, we have the feast coming up, and we're going to do something on that soon. But remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.